This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and today I am with Bob Dineen with the Renewable Fuels Association. Bob, how are you?
Fabulous. Just living the dream.
Well, Bob, I know you're having a fun week, I should say, because there has been so much confusion, and we know, obviously, who's causing this confusion about renewable volume obligations as part of the renewable fuel standard. So
There's no question that there's no adult supervision in Washington today because of the government shutdown. And so, you know, oil company lobbyists can start a rumor and it just goes unfettered.
And it is going unfettered. And thank goodness that you have decided not to shut down during this time. But, you know, I really feel, Bob, you know, just what I'm seeing, you know, from you this week is that we need to take a step back and do a little bit of maybe an RFS 101 or Renewable Volume Obligation 101. So, Bob, I think, first of all, explain what, in fact, is a renewable volume obligation and how it fits into the renewable fuel standard.
Well, every year, EPA has got to set the renewable volume obligation, or RVO, based on the amount of renewable fuel that they believe will be produced in that year. But there are certain constraints because there's a baseline number for renewable fuel, and for 2014, that baseline number is 14.4 billion gallons. That can't be changed. That's set in the statute. There is great flexibility for EPA, however, to set the numbers for advanced biofuel, biodiesel, and for cellulose of ethanol. And there is flexibility, which EPA has used in the past, to reduce those volumes if they do not believe that there are going to be the production to meet the statutory requirements. So, for example, for the cellulosic biofuel number, which this year was 1 billion gallons, they reduced it to 6 million gallons because that's how much they believed would be produced. They can do that for other fuels as well. They've actually been increasing the number of gallons required for biodiesel in recognition of the fact that the biodiesel industry is growing. And they can set the number for other advanced biofuels as well. But in that RVO process, they can't just reset the numbers at all. Congress was very clear as to how they might be able to reset the numbers, but only if a severe economic hardship was determined. That's not the process that's going on right now. This is just, we're going to let the market know what the numbers are for 2014, and there's been a great deal of misinformation, I think, and speculation about where EPA is going with those numbers for next year.
Well, Bob, I'm going to take a step back again. You talked about how it's set in statute that 2014, we need to have, I think you said, 14.4 billion gallons. Now, is that in total renewable fuel, or is that specifically for a certain category of renewable fuel?
That's just the baseline.
Okay.
And people often think that there's a corn ethanol number in the bill. There is not. There's a baseline renewable fuel number of 14.4. On top of that 14.4 would go cellulosic volumes, biodiesel volumes, other advanced biofuels on top of that 14.4. So, but that fundamental baseline number is sacrosanct. EPA cannot touch that in this RVO process.
Now, you talked about the only that the definition or the way that the legislation was written is that they had to show an economic hardship. But Bob, I don't, from an outsider looking in, I don't see any obligated party being able to prove that there's any economic hardship based on the numbers historically that the EPA has come out with.
No, not at all. The argument that is being made is that because refiners won't be able to blend more than 10% ethanol into gasoline, that it would drive up the price of gasoline. They'll have to export. The problem is none of that is happening today. Ethanol continues to drive down the price of gasoline, and there most certainly has not been any kind of severe economic harm from this program. But more importantly, EPA cannot set the numbers based on a blend wall. The whole point of the renewable fuel standard was to break beyond 10% ethanol, to encourage higher blends, to encourage FFVs and E85, and to move the market beyond renewable fuels, ethanol, just being a blend component in gasoline. So refiners, though, have thus far refused to invest in E85 infrastructure, have discouraged, to put it mildly, marketers from utilizing E15 or other higher level blends, and are now saying, hey, we can't do more than E10. Well, you can't do more for E10, you think, because you haven't made those investments. EPA cannot reward that bad behavior by waiving a program that was specifically designed to move the market beyond 10% blends. And no amount of whining by Exxon or Tesoro can change that immutable fact.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob, do you feel, I mean, granted, there's so much speculation, you know, you hit on the head at the beginning of the interview that, you know, we're on a federal furlough and suddenly big oil has all these rumors going out. But I mean, honestly, do you think that EPA are they going to stick with this? Or do you feel that they're going to stick with the law and they're going to set the RVOs and that they're going to try to keep pushing this legislation and the renewable fuels industry and, quite frankly, choice at the pump forward?
Look, I absolutely do. This administration is committed to this program. There will be a robust debate in an interagency review process that has been shut down by the shutdown. There's no dialogue going on between EPA and USDA today. There's no discussion with the Department of Energy over what these numbers need to be. But that will all occur. There is no way on this planet that the Department of Agriculture, looking at a record 14 billion bushel corn crop coming in, is going to say, yeah, it's okay to take demand out of the RFS. We don't have a farm bill. There is no safety net. You do that, you drop the price of corn at least another dollar a bushel, and you wreak havoc on rural America. Do you think for one second that Secretary Vilsack, who has been the strongest proponent of this program throughout the administration, is going to say, yeah, okay, we'll waive it. That's not going to happen. What's going on right now is absolutely just a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of, you know, the rumor mill is going crazy, because there's nobody at EPA or USDA or any place to say, whoa, wait a minute, this is early on in this process. There will still be an interagency review. There will still be opportunities for stakeholders, including the Renewable Fuels Association and others, to go in and tell OMB, you know, what they need to do. At some point, someone is going to take a look at the statute and say, oh my goodness, we forgot. We actually have to obey the law here and not move forward on a proposal that doesn't make sense. But let's suspend reality for a second. They do propose it. There's still a lengthy public comment period. There's still an opportunity for everybody to say, you've lost your ever-loving minds. And I don't believe for one moment that this administration is going to reward the bad behavior of the oil companies and do any damage whatsoever to a program that is reducing consumer gasoline costs, that has dramatically reduced our imports of petroleum products and improving our energy security, that has revitalized rural America, that is encouraging investment in new technologies and seeing the commercialization of advanced ethanol and other advanced biofuels as we speak. They're not going to turn the clock on a program that has been so successful.
And Bob, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, let's talk about some facts. The industry as a whole is already producing more than what the statute requires for 2014 in terms of renewable fuel, correct?
You're absolutely right. Look, the standard that EPA would have to abide by to reduce the volumes is that there's not enough production. We have more than enough production right now. In fact, that's our problem, that we've got too much supply. And just because the oil companies don't want to offer E15, don't want to put in place an E85 fuel pump and allow FFVs access to an alternative fuel, just because they want to erect this nonsensical blend wall is no reason to roll back this program. Not right now.
And Bob, let me add some fuel to the fire. I'm going to be honest and let you know that... You know,
like it needs more fuel?
Well, I'm not great at math here, but if the oil companies would stop, you know, putting in these frivolous lawsuits and fight over the RVOs and the gallons and the infrastructure, if they would actually invest in the infrastructure for E15 and E85, would they not still see record profits?
There's no question. Look, ExxonMobil made more money last year than any company in the history of the universe. You know, and yet they whine about the cost of a blender pump. Excuse me. No, we're not going to continue to protect the monopoly over the U.S. motor fuel market just so that their shareholders, you know, can get, you know, wealthier. This is why the RFS was created, because for too long, oil companies have had a stranglehold on our motor transportation fuels. The RFS is about access. The RFS is intended to wrest control of our energy future from the shareholders of Exxon and Tesoro and the other oil companies that are just upset that they're finally losing a bit of market control. And, you know, we've taken 10% of the barrel. We're on the way to taking a third of the barrel. And the only way that that's going to not occur is if EPA rewards their bad behavior. Won't happen.
Well, and I find it ironic, Bob, that you just proved the point of there has been no economic harm. We've had the renewable fuel standard in place for 7 years, and yet, to your point, Exxon just had its highest profit ever. So how is it that they could argue that they're having their highest profit ever and still fulfilling the RFS?
If you were to take away the demand of the RFS and ethanol consumption in this country falls and the investments being made in advanced cellulosic ethanol in other biofuels and biodiesel, all you will accomplish is driving up the price of gasoline. Mm-hmm. All you will have done is to incentivize more drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, more fracking in North Dakota, more tar sands in Canada, all of which comes at a huge economic cost at the pump for consumers and to the environment. And, you know, that is ultimately the test that EPA would have to contemplate. That's the real serious economic harm here. Ethanol is driving down the price of gasoline today. Don't take my word for it, for crying out loud. Last week there was a report that Phil Verlager, an oil industry analyst for years, said that the ethanol industry and the RFS had reduced the price of gasoline at the pump by 50 cents to $1.50. Mm-hmm. So that's the economic harm that would occur. You want to do damage to the economy? Fine. Undermine the RFS. Mm-hmm. It won't happen.
So, Bob, I think, you know, obviously your organization is out there every day. Unfortunately, sometimes I think for you, 7 days a week. But how we need to get more act, you know, we need to get more activation in both the ethanol industry and with consumers. So how do we get consumers and other people in the industry to aid you in this fight and this conversation and getting these facts out?
Well, look, you folks do a great job, you know, doing that. We all have to take the responsibility seriously to respond to the nonsense that you see. When you see the Wall Street Journal opine repeatedly against ethanol, calling it a subsidized boondoggle. We have to remind them that the only liquid transportation fuel receiving a subsidy today is, oil. When the Chicago Tribune opines on their pages that planting more and more corn for the use of ethanol is harmful to the environment, we have to tell them, wrong. Mm-hmm. You're seeing increased yields. You're seeing a revitalization of rural America as a consequence of this program. And the real environmental harm would be more fracking, more tar sands, more spills in the Gulf. You know, you've got Tesoro right now that has trying to deal with a leak in North Dakota where their oil is coming out of a pipeline and pouring into wheat fields up there. That's the environmental harm that people should be focused on. But we have to do, a better job, be, you know, more vigilant, be more willing to pick up a pen and just say, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. The oil industry has, more money than God. And they've got a campaign right now that is misleading the American public about the efficacy of using ethanol in their automobiles. It needs to stop, and we need to rise up and just get the facts out there.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, you know, keep us updated on what's going on with the RVOs. I know, especially with the government shutdown, you made the point that these conversations have been stopping. Hopefully, they still will. EPA still will come out with these 2014 numbers. So, let's keep in touch and let us know how things are going.
Well, I suspect you'll be hearing from us.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.